Welcome back to the Talosiv Tech Podcast, everyone, episode 17. We're once again joined with our regular co-hosts, Nick Answeeney and Randy Vasquez. How's it going tonight?
Yo! We are back! I missed you guys!
I missed you more.
You guys too. Aww.
There's no, I'm not talking to you, Drew. I'm talking to Randy.
Oh, okay.
I miss you too, Nick.
Fair. I've been blowing up. You probably don't miss me because I've been on 19 different YouTube channels this past couple weeks.
I don't miss you. I see you every day.
I'm only subscribed to one YouTube channel, Drew.
Talos the Tox food? Channel.
Yes, obviously Talos of Food.
I get it. All right. So, what do we have to talk about? There's been a lot of developments, a lot in the Talos of field, but there's also some in Apple. Can't forget about Apple.
Really?
There, you know.
We're a tech podcast based around Apple?
Yeah.
You didn't send me that memo before we started recording, Drew. I'm not going to be able to do this.
It's partially
I thought
there,
this is all
but
about
I mean, like,
Talos of...
I created my own news for the whole tech community to talk about. It's been interesting as a development. And for the record, I don't know your guys' thoughts on the whole display thing. They know mine very clearly.
They do?
Thanks to several different videos explaining it. But I don't know where you guys stood on that whole Linus situation. If you had different opinions or if you sided with one YouTuber or another, I don't know where you guys stand.
Take it,
so,
Nick.
I'm gonna take this one. I get where Linus is coming from. It's frustrating, but I completely 100% agree with you. Here's why.
Okay.
Through my school, I have a 2010 Mac Mini that is like IT issued. It's just kind of a server. I use it as a server, basically.
Okay.
Just kind of always plugged in and always on. But the problem was it just came with a stock 320 gigabyte regular platter hard drive. And I decided, I decided a couple weeks ago that I was going to bite the bullet and do an SSD. But I figured, because to take apart a 2010 Mac Mini, you basically have to take it all apart. It's not just swap out the hard drive real quick. So I figured
and
as long as I have
the display.
Yes, I definitely cracked the display on my 2010 Mac Mini, Drew. Thank you.
Yeah, I knew it.
Yep. Yeah, Apple refused to replace my Mac Mini display. I cannot believe this. Anyway, so I decided that while I had it apart, I might as well do a more major upgrade. So I got rid of the CD drive because I've never once even touched that. OWC data doubler. So basically, I just swapped the main hard drive for an SSD and then the old hard drive, put that in the data doubler. Kind of just like got a little more storage.
Sure.
So when I was putting it all back together again, I accidentally chopped off one of the cables that went to a sensor, sensor for one of the hard drive sensor things. So basically now my fan is at 100% because the Mac Mini thinks that it is overheating. It keeps it nice and cool, which is nice because before it was always getting too hot because the fan wouldn't be on enough. But it's
annoying too loud
because it's like I also recently sold my 12-inch MacBook, which didn't have a fan. And now I'm sitting here at my desk with this jet engine underneath my desk. All day long. It's kind of annoying. So
but
I understand why Apple wouldn't
want to
fix
that.
Yeah, I understand why Apple wouldn't want to fix that, because that was my fault. I should have been more careful when I was undoing the connector. I just kind of ripped it out. And it wouldn't really be worth their time to fix my little Mac. Like, they probably would first replace the fan, thinking that that is what is wrong, before they went and looked at the sensors, because this, I mean, it's easy to miss. Like, I ripped the whole connector straight off the logic board. So, like, it's like just solder points on the the logic board. So anyway, I understand why Apple wouldn't want to fix stuff. And they totally reserve the right to. Like, it's A, a free country, and B, like, it's their company. So if they don't want to fix something, they don't have to fix something. So,
well, and see, a lot of people were bringing up that there's this right to repair law that or California or the United States is passing that's saying that they have to fix these things in that situation. And to them, I always replied, this was Canada. This wasn't a U.S. incident. So it doesn't apply to everything that we have set in the United States. Who knows? Maybe it happens. Maybe it's a different story in the U.S., but that brings me to the last point of my follow-up video, which is that this is such an incredibly rare scenario, we literally don't have anyone else's incident to compare it to. We don't know of anyone else that dropped and or opened up and broke their iMac Pro. So,
do you want to try that really for us, Drew?
Okay. Yeah, let's do it.
Just
honestly,
just
I get think Xander in on my, it. Exactly. Xander will throw the iMac Pro on the ground. Honestly, I think if he did, it wouldn't even break. That thing is sturdy. And really, the only way to break it, I think, is to tear it apart. But Randy, I don't know your opinions on this.
Well, wait. If you are gonna throw the iMac Pro on the ground, you got to make sure you get the little spark in post production in there mapped correctly.
Yes. But we have After Effects, so luckily we can track Nick. The spark in. It'll Ooh. Go perfectly.
Go ahead, Randy.
All right, yep. Drew, so specifically, what is your question?
My question is, Apple refused to fix Linus Tech Tips iMac Pro, which he opened up and broke the individual components of, not just the display, which is what they kind of make it seem. Do you think Apple was in the wrong or in the right? Should Apple fix this, or was Apple right to say, no, we don't have time for that? He's looking at the floor for the listening.
Yeah, I'm looking at the floor, and I am ready to start a war.
Thank you. Please.
I think, yes, let's do this. Live time, unedited, I'm just kidding.
Except I'm going to edit that out.
Yeah. Okay. Apple had an error in their handling of the situation is where I do not fault Linus's aggravations.
Okay.
The warranty is the warranty. And God knows we've beat this warranty to hell and back, so we're not going to talk about it.
Yes, of course.
I'm done with the warranty, but
okay.
Apple's handling of the situation, because it's so rare, was handled poorly. I do see it from that, and I lean more on the handling of the situation more so than the end result, because had they told Linus from the get-go, we can't do it, I think he would have handled the situations differently. At this point, it's all speculation, but if I was Linus and they took my computer and then they got back to me and said no, and if I had Linus's money, I would say cost isn't a factor. Fix my computer, where I will say Linus was wrong. Well, I'm not wrong, but where I would have handled it differently at this point was, if it's easier for me to just make the purchase of another $5,000 machine, then so be it. But I would hold certain reservations to the fact that I feel like I was led on, because there was a miscommunication that happened internally with Apple's customer care services within that, regardless of warranty, regardless of any of that. I'm going to omit the fact that the iMac Pro sector, whether they had a team or not, I don't care. He was told something, and then they went back on it the next time they got in contact with him. And somebody who's been in a situation, not with Apple, but I've been in that situation, I have become very agitated, not to the point where I'm going to make a YouTube video about it, but I have been very agitated in regards to it. And I completely understand his frustrations in regards to it, omitting, let's make an After Effect video explaining what happened. All that, I want to cut a lot of this to get to the point of it, that I feel like Apple was in the wrong in the handling of the situation, but they were in their right to deny services regardless of the situation, the moment he opened the machine. And I think Linus, from what I've saw with his live stream that he did, or his podcast, that hour thing that he did a few days ago, from what I gathered after watching that one, I think he understands that he knew what he was doing when he opened the machine, but the situation, his issue that he took away from the situation was the handling of this of his iMac. And I would feel like time was wasted at that point in regards to getting my machine repaired or replaced, or if I need to pay for a new one, fine. If somebody told me something and then another guy gets back to me and says no, I would hold it. I would feel a certain way about that. So I will end it with, I understand where he's coming from with that.
So this is what Apple should have done, in my opinion. They should have taken the iMac, and told Linus, hey, we're going to send this out to Depot. No promises, you know, we'll see what happens. And then while it was at Depot, they would have obviously realized that more than just the display is broken. And what they should have done is they should have just told the sales staff, we will get him a whole new Mac. Like, just offer him, because he said price is not an option or whatever. They should have just said, okay, price is not an option.
Yeah.
Give us $5,000. We will fix your Mac. It will also come in a brand new package, and you get to peel the sticker again.
We even put the film code on it. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Or they could have gotten them a refurb one if they have those laying around. They might not yet, but you know,
no.
they should have handled it better, in my opinion. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So but I would say,
I can't fault them for not repairing it.
Okay. Well, it seems like we're all kind of on the same page, because I think even I would agree that the customer support person probably just worded very poorly the situation, which was their excuse. But, I mean, we all know that's been a problem with Apple customer support for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when we would all ask them when HomePod pre-orders were going to start and 10 out of 12 of them were wrong? So I don't, I just don't find it to be a new thing that customer support isn't entirely in the loop. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's someone working, you know, probably 12 hours a day, not getting paid very much, and they're probably not terribly enthusiastic about their job. So I can kind of get it when someone in customer support isn't too enlightened on the topic.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's what the video gives off the impression of, because, you know, the title being Apple refused to fix our iMac Pro, it feels like more of the subject is on why didn't they fix it, not necessarily they told us they could, even though you can see in the email that he screenshotted that they said typically if you open things up, we can't service that anymore. Mm-hmm. Not the warranty, but we can't service it. So
yeah,
that's why I was like, yes, the fact that customer support could have worded it better, absolutely, but I personally feel that that wasn't what Linus made his video out to be upset about. He didn't seem to be as upset about that. What they should have done was sent him a 2010 Mac Mini without a CD drive.
Yes.
And say it was fixed.
That would have worked out well. So,
there you go.
What are your guys' experiences with AppleCare and Apple support in general? Because I have two pretty good ones that I'd like to bring up.
I had an amazing one. Oh, go ahead. You first.
I've never had AppleCare ever.
Yeah.
In my life. And
AppleCare Plus. I've had AppleCare, which is what comes on every computer. AppleCare Plus. I've never had that.
Then Care Plus is what I mean.
$250.
I've never paid extra for protection, is what I'm saying. And
I'm thumb downing everybody right now. Shame on you.
I'm a very responsible tech owner. I baby my stuff. Look at it that way.
Yeah. Okay.
I just looked at it. Is that
why you dropped your iPhone 8?
No, it's like no. Which I got a free
charger.
One for without AppleCare. Yeah. And I didn't drop it. The Qi charger dropped it. On top of
semantics.
Yes. If anything, I should talk to the Qi company, not the and Apple also
video
replaced
or didn't
it.
Happen.
I got a new iPhone 8 box. I got new headphones and a new charger. Didn't have to turn in the old ones at all. They just gave me a fresh new anyway. My experiences with Apple customer support is that they are very ill-informed on details of things, especially rare situations.
Yes,
basically,
definitely.
Apple customer support can help you with something that you could look up on your own. They are just kind of someone who does the searching for you.
Mm-hmm.
If not, they're probably not going to know too much. They're basically as smart as a pretty techie Apple sheep. They're basically as smart as I am. If I don't know something, they probably don't know it either. So that's why anytime I've been talking to them, and I'll be like, so the iMac Pro pre-orders start this Tuesday. Does that mean they'll be in the store on Tuesday? Or does that mean they'll be in the store on Friday? Most of them would say, yes, the iMac Pro is going to be available in stores. And I go, great. And I show up and it isn't. Turns out it wasn't for 2 weeks. So they're just not very filled in on those type of scenarios. And to be honest, that's any tech company. That's not an Apple thing. I think that's just how companies that large with that many employees, they just can't get the word out or that much information out that quickly. Same with the HomePod pre-order times. We were like, when do HomePod pre-orders start? Is it midnight? Is it 1? Is it 12:30? Is it 3:30? It was 5:30. Every customer support person said it was midnight. They were all wrong. Either way, I wish Apple could have let them know that. But they didn't. So customer support is like, well, yeah, they don't know what they're talking about. They hardly know anything they're talking about. But in terms of getting things repaired or getting things fixed, I've had nothing but great experiences with Apple. As in, like, I told the story of my old 2012 iMac. I'd been using it for like a year. Now, I think it was over a year I'd been using it. And we noticed the fan was kind of squeaking a little bit. So we were like, ah, that, everything's running fine, but maybe we should take this into an Apple store. So we did. He said, all right, come back in about 3 days. And we did. And it was fine. And it still runs fine to this day. So I don't even remember what we paid for that. It wasn't very much. It was probably like $40 to $50 or something. But it was,
yeah,
it was minor. It worked. They were friendly. And then more recently with the iPhone 8 story that fell off the Qi charger, dented the bumper, said, hey, my new one's out dented. And they're like, okay, we'll get you a new one. They just brought out a brand new one. So in terms of repairs and customer support, I have nothing bad to say. In terms of, you know, the online chat people, yes, of course, they don't know what they're talking about, but what chat team does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are your stories?
I would say customer care, spot on. They don't know what they're doing. The most prevalent one was when I so you guys never had the Apple Care Plus. Have always had Apple Care Plus.
And
interesting.
No, I take a sense of comfort. When I first got into Apple, I was in the Marine Corps and I was in the field, and my after my original iPhone took a nasty fall and cracked and all that, I never looked back in regards to having the Apple Care Plus, just because it was a security blanket for me. Yeah. And so because I was more hands-on at the time, the habit just never died from it that I always got it. When you're on the upgrade program, the iPhone Upgrade Forever or whatever they call it.
Yep.
You get it. You buy into it. Mm-hmm. So I am happily still a part of it. And if I remember correctly, I'm the only one out of us that has the upgrade program currently. Is that accurate?
Yes, I think so.
Yep. I'm on Sprint's lease.
When I went ahead and was trying to pre-order the 10, nobody could give me an answer in regards to what I'm supposed to do with the 7 Plus. And the reason why is because the 7 Plus, for the first time, we were exceeding the 12-month mark in regards to what we can do with the phone. Am I supposed to cease payment? Am I supposed to contact – you take the loan out of Citizen One Loan. That's the company currently who is involved with the loan. Do I call them and cancel it? Do what am I supposed to do with this phone? Because this was the first time back in November they would just send the phone to you to your house directly instead of you having to go into the store. Every year they're getting better in the seamless transition of from product from the factory to your hands. And so this time they would send it to you, but you would have to send the phone back. Cool. Okay. Call them up. Mm-hmm. How do I send the phone back? If you're going to send it to me directly and I will get it sooner at my house than I will having to go pick it up and put in the reservation for it, how do I have to get this phone to you? And nobody could give me a straight answer. And they admittedly said, I just don't know, because this is the first time. This is a first for us. So I said, then we're going to play it safe. We're going to do what I did with the 6S, and I'm just going to turn in the 7 at the store. Cool. So we picked up the busiest Apple store that we have in San Diego, and I went there. And I said, hey, got a phone on reservation. Here's my confirmation number. Boom, got it. Here you go. Thank you. Hey, thanks. Really quickly, what am I supposed to do with the 7 or the 7 Plus? And this is just a specialist at the point on the floor. And they're like, hiya. I was like, oh, here's the deal. My loan is currently still open from a financial administrative position.
Yeah.
I am still obligated to this payment of this phone until I turn it over. And I have made more than 50% of the payment of the phone. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I am eligible to turn this phone in to start the new phone. I started my new loan because it was I was pre-qualified the night we were able to do the pre-orders, and even then, because I had the upgrade program from the year before, I was front of the line of the front of the line, so I knew I got the phone exactly what I wanted, how I wanted it. Cool. My loan was good with the iPhone 10. What am I supposed to do with the loan of the iPhone 7 Plus? Everybody's like, hey, Mikey, can you come over here and help me out? They had to get the store manager come up and like, what are we supposed to do? We don't know. We got on the phone with Citizen One. It's like, hey, we got a customer who's turning in the phone. Citizen One, I don't know. So we're sitting here. I was like, well, listen, I'm an honest guy, so I'm just going to tell you, like, yeah, I'm turning over this phone. I'm sacrificing my responsibility. My business transaction with this is ceased. Citizen One has canceled my loan at this point, and Apple is holding my 7 Plus. Like, what are we supposed to do with this? And I was like, I'm going to be honest with you. I told him, I could just take this phone, and they're like, we don't know what to do with it. Like, I'm an honest guy, and I do believe in karma, so I'm just going to be like, I just want my 10. To be honest with you, and I wish you the best with the 7. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I made sure before I walked out of that store, everything. I got the confirmation email. My loan was closed with the 7 Plus. At that point, they just held onto the phone. And I'm like, have you guys not did this yet? And they're like, I'm going to be honest with you. You're the first guy today who's doing this. I'm like, I promise you, I'm not the last. So I hope you guys figured this out.
Right.
So the customer support side of it was kind of weird. And that's always been my experience. The service factor, when I got the iPhone 4 and I, 3-4 months into it, still active duty at this point, drop my phone and I just shatter it. I'm like, and, front and at that point we got the back. Thank the Lord, the back. But I had the bumper, right? So we got the bumper that Apple issued because of the antenna gate situation. So it was for free and I dropped it and the bumper did nothing. It just shattered it. I'm like, and so I went straight to Apple and said, came up with watery, puffy eyes. Will you help me?
Right.
And they looked at me and they're like, do you have Apple Care? Yes, I do. And they're like, great. They, and just like your iPhone 8 story, went in the back. Right. Oh, do we have a slab of glass for this? Oh, we do, but hey, is this backed up? I think so. Cool. Here's a new one. Have you listened?
Right.
Bye-bye. Cool. And
Apple stores are very profit optional, I've noticed.
Yeah. They're like, we don't know what to do with it. So the support system, great. Or the service, I should say. Service, in and out, done. The people, there's a lack of communication that's happening internally. And
well, I think what it is we can reliably find that Apple will not know too much about things that don't happen very often. And I think that's understandable because it means that it's not a common enough situation that they have to put a system in place for iMac Pro teardown repairs or Capital One transfer upgrade program. You know, like things that don't happen very often, it's hard or kind of useless to them to put in a system for. So to me, it didn't make sense to get upset about something that literally no one was going to have to worry about. And it kind of just felt more like, this iMac Pro is really nice, but here's something we could find that would make it not worth it anymore. It's like, we got to find a way to bash on this more.
It's like good clickbait.
I mean, especially when you're stepping literally on the display and bending it in half. So when you treat it that way and it ends up like that, I'm like, well, come on. If we're just mad,
I completely
that someone
get. Just for the record, just because I signed with Linus, with his response to it, I get the legality of the situation that they should not operate on the iMac because they don't know what components
operate
were
on
compromised.
The iMac. This is a patient. We in the
hospital. Well,
I'd be frustrated too. If I were Linus, I'd be frustrated too. But it wouldn't be at Apple. It'd be the guy who was putting together the Mac again. What's his name? Anthony.
I'd be frustrated at the guy who's doing the post-production Spark.
No, I'm just like, look, we have a crew here. I mean, there's a lot of people. I mean, you got a lot of sponsorships. I assume you pay them quite good money to have...
Don't go there, Nick. Drew, don't go there. Don't do
it. No, I'm just saying. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying you're paying people quite a bit. I'd be rather upset to find out that the guy whose job is to tear down computers and then put them back together is breaking individual parts of it. It's like, maybe this is a bad idea. Maybe we shouldn't do this because, even though he was willing to pay for it, no matter the cost, that whoever that employee is costing Linus a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, $7,000, throw it in, whatever. So that's who I'd be more upset with.
Have you heard about Audible?
Nick,
oh no!
Don't do this.
No! We can't go there, Nick. We don't like it when we go there.
Don't do this.
Regardless, did Nick? did you tell us your I guess you have your Mac Mini story, but do you have Apple Care?
Yeah, so I have two other Apple. Well, I have so many Apple support stories. If I added up how many hours I've spent at the Genius Bar, probably like 3 or 4 years. I kind of feel like I live there sometimes. Oh, wow. I like know.
I've only all had one Genius Bar appointment in my whole life.
Really? I like know half the people who work at my Apple store by name.
Well,
and they
too.
Know me by name. It is so funny.
Hey, it's Sweeney's YouTube here. Channel. What's good?
Yep. Yeah, it's kind of funny. Anyway, so I guess the first and most, best thing that I've had happen with Apple Care. I had my 12-inch MacBook, which obviously charges with USB-C, and I got a third-party dock to like charge it, and it like had some peripheral hookup. It's kind of like a Quack Clock, but it was like more of a docking station where it was just like sat there and it plugged into the wall and stuff. Yes. So I used that for like probably 2 or 3 months after I got the 12-inch MacBook, and it was great. But then one day the third party dock thing, the little system power controller went out on it, is what I found out later. So basically it would cycle charging my Mac from on and off every like half second. So like you'd watch the little battery charge indicator on the Mac, like flash from charging, not charging. And then a few seconds after it did that, the I/O port on my Mac, the one USB-C port, gave out. I was stuck with 53% power, no Time Machine backups, no way to back up my computer because it's one USB-C port and that wasn't working. So I like immediately called Apple support, like not even waiting 30 seconds, like open up my phone. I said, hey Siri, call Apple. Oh my gosh. She heard me. She's across the room. How did she hear me?
Oh my goodness. She's not Google. How did
I know,
she
right? Anyway, I like have Apple support just on a contact card. I was like, hey, call Apple. Then 30 seconds, I was talking to a rep and I was like, hey, what do I do? Told me to do an SMC power reset and like try a few different things on the keyboard. None of that worked. So I'm like, great. How fast can you get me into an Apple store? Because I need to figure out a way to back this up without using USB on 53% power. And so I was like, wow. So he got me an appointment. Like, if I went online, all the Apple store appointments were booked for like 2 or 3 days. But whoever I was talking to is whatever senior technician. I went up to the next manager. They got me an appointment the next day. It was a little inconvenient with the Apple store place, but it was the next day. So I drive up there and... I go to the Apple store and I'm like, hey, my Mac isn't working. Like, it's the I/O thing isn't working. And I also neglected to tell them I was using a third party charger, which, you know.
It's okay.
I know.
Oops. They're not allowed to assume you're lying.
Yep.
I've noticed that in a lot of Apple stores. It's very nice. They can't be like, no, you're not. They're not allowed to do that. They have to take your word.
Yep. Little manipulative on my part. But anyway, they took
Same
a look at it
whatever,
and they're like,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what to do. So we tried to sync, like, my most important documents. I mean, my pictures and stuff already in iCloud. But we just, like, tried to sync my most important stuff just up into iCloud Drive. And then they sent it off to Depot. So they said, come back in 2 or 3 days. If for those who don't know, Depot is where they send Apple products that they can't fix in store. They'll basically, at Depot, they'll take it apart until it's working. They'll do anything and everything to it. They'll give you a whole new Mac even, which is why I was kind of confused about the whole Linus Tech Tips thing, because I think that they would have fixed that at Depot, but I understand why not. Anyway, that's beside the point. So 3 days later, I get an email saying my Mac is back. I was kind of worried because, like, what happened here? And I'm like, I don't know. Is it working? Do I have my data? What's going on? So I go to the Apple store, pick it up. Brand new MacBook, because there's a little dent and a little scratch on my screen. Brand new MacBook, but somehow they got all of my data off of my old 12-inch MacBook onto this new one.
They must have swapped SSDs or something.
Well, no, it's soldered onto the logic board, and so
But could they do that, though?
I'm sure they took the logic board out and put it into something else. I don't know how they did it, but it was like,
Apple.
Wow.
They can do anything they want.
I know,
HQ sent them the parts.
Yeah.
I guess.
But yeah,
By the way,
I got
Randy,
this brand new 12-inch. Sorry.
Randy, thank you for your service. I just want to say that because Linus won't be saying that to Apple. Sorry. There we go. Moving on.
Wow.
There you go. I had to throw that out there.
Oh my.
Nick, edit this out.
Okay, I'll leave this in. Thanks. I only edit out things that I don't want to hear. I would want to hear this if I was a fan.
Oh, Linus, so, I hope you hear this one day, but I doubt it.
So anyway, I get back. I have this brand new Mac. And I'm like, great. Mm-hmm. So then about 2 months later, I'm at this pen expo. I sold wooden pens at the time. And I did not have my adapter, but I did have this dock thing that fried my Mac last time. Right. So I'm like, well, let's try it. I don't know. I kind of needed an external monitor. Fried my Mac. Not even messing around. It just like died. The whole Mac would not power on. Nothing would happen. So I took it back to Apple. And they're like, interesting. Well, seeing how this happened last time, and we didn't know what happened, they just went to the back of the store, brought out a brand new 12-inch MacBook in the box, gave me a whole new charging brick, power cable, stickers.
Sweet.
Brand new
Those
MacBook.
Those bricks aren't cheap.
I know, they're not. They're expensive. They're $79.
Those
for
stickers are expensive, man.
Or $49, yeah. Totally. Very expensive, especially those iMac Pro ones. I remember a certain YouTuber was selling them for $200 a while ago.
It's true. I heard McDonald's will fry your Big Mac, too. Sorry. Never mind. I have
to stop. Oh, my
no, goodness please, going, please. I live for this.
So that was my great experience with the AppleCare support. I didn't even have AppleCare Plus. It was just the regular AppleCare.
Right, right.
Because there was a technical support issue within the first year. Typically, I don't have Apple products for more than a year. That MacBook was kind of a interesting case because I've had that for almost 2 years. I just sold it, getting Drew's 15-inch. So that'll be nice.
Congrats, Nick.
Yay. How exciting.
We are both in a momentary time where neither of us have MacBooks.
I know. That's another topic I want to bring up at some point this evening. But I have another support story. So my very first Apple device, like I was 14. I technically used like a little iPod Shuffle before that, but my first Apple device that was my own was a iPad Mini, 16 gigabytes, slate gray, first generation. I was so proud of that little thing. I had this keyboard case that was kind of like before Apple did keyboard cases. It was like this Zag keyboard case that like the keyboard just kind of folded up on the display of the iPad Mini. Anyway, it worked good. But one day I was walking around, and we lived up in the mountains at the time and on our dirt road, and I had my headphones round the case, and the case was closed with the iPad in it because I was listening to music, but I wasn't at the time. And I had the headphones, like the little ear pods, like in my fingers, but like still wrapped around, if that makes any sense. Okay. Anyway, I tripped and fell. The iPad slipped out of my fingers. I was still holding on to the EarPods cable, though. So I kind of like did a yo-yo effect and unraveled the cable, and it spun the iPad Mini so that the keyboard opened and it landed face down on gravel. It's like, great. First, brutal. I had it for like 2 or 3 months. I was so devastated. I know, little 14-year-old. Anyway, so I like go home and I call Apple support. I'm like, hey, I broke my iPad Mini. How much is this going to cost to fix? And they're like, well, do you have Apple Care Plus? I'm like, no. They're like, well, that'll be like $350. I paid $329 for that iPad. I was like, wait, what?
This is cheaper.
I know. Yeah. So anyway, I had talked to other people and did some research online. That was like the price. But you could get a brand new digitizer online for $12. Mm-hmm. So being my techie self and thinking that I could solder things and, let's just say that didn't end well. Little iPad Mini never turned on again. I soldered one of the, it was like the soldering panel that you're supposed to like solder all the connectors to. And like one of them was crossed. And so, he never turned on again. It was very sad. So,
shocker.
Anyway, then I went back to the Apple Store and I was like, "Hey, what do I do?" And they're just like, "Yeah, can't do anything, man. Sorry." So I sold it at a parts store for $50. I was so sad.
Well, it's something.
Yeah. Well, still
buy a new watch band.
Not those weren't out yet at that time. I'm that old. Yes. But anyway, those are my two stories.
That's
one good,
interesting.
One bad one.
Yeah, it appears that for the most part, if you go to a store, you're going to have a lot better luck Seems yes. like they're going to hook you up a lot more if you go to in person than you do online. Which mm-hmm. I might add, there are, from what I've seen, quite a lot more Apple stores than there are Google stores or Samsung stores. At least the that I can see up here in Butte County. I don't know if that's different where you guys are, but I don't know. I just feel like it's nice that Apple makes quite a large effort to have as much like retail presence as they can, yeah. especially when they manage that end of the business pretty well.
In San Diego County, yeah. we have about like maybe five or six Apple stores, and they are very adamant that they would want you to come in because all the stores that I've seen here have been refreshed to have the modern look, not the one that happened mm-hmm. back in the early 2000s. So they're more prone to the classroom environment that they want you to come and get the training and all that stuff that's happening right there. But at the same time, since my experience with trying to get the iPhone X, they really are also big about trying to do the Amazon approach of let me just send it to you directly. And they want you to have mm-hmm. the best of both worlds. But if you come to our store, you're going to get an experience. And they've always been about that customer experience. And I really right. I really appreciate that for the fact that when I go in, they've always gone above and beyond to try to help. Even if it's somebody who didn't know what they were doing, like taking my iPhone 7, they weren't like dismissive about it. They weren't like, I can't help you, it's too bad. They were just like, I don't know what we're supposed to do, but you're here to get your iPhone 10? Here you go. Waiting outside in line, that's like you're outside in line for about maybe 5 minutes max, because we have so many stores, mm-hmm. and they'll tell you, we say go to the South Bay area, or we have all these different counties, or not counties, but sub-counties in the overall county. Go to this one, go to that one, mm-hmm. go to that one. It'll have the fastest turnaround. And so logistically, they know how to service people. And so when you go pick it up for your phone, you don't have to wait in a line for hours. You're slotted. Come here between 2 and 2:30. You'll be in and out. And, exactly. and it's always been like that. So mm-hmm. they've really been about that customer experience when you go to these stores. And I like going to the stores just to have something to do, because I like playing around with either the new iPads that I don't have, so I like to just fiddle with the bigger screens. Sure. Mm-hmm. I like to They're play fun. With the headphones.
People will just go there to hang out.
Yeah, yeah. For me, going there, it's like, what do I want but I don't need, and what am I going to end up walking out anyway? And last time I went there, I got I bought more watch bands just because, like, let's see, I don't keep up to date with it. I go on the app and I look at it for the most part, but really, I don't.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember. I want to try this one on with my watch. Okay. Oh, that looks good. I want to try this with my phone case. Oh, that looks cool. Mm-hmm.
Or if you want to know, like, what the craziest looking Apple Watch is, they'll even unlock the drawers and yeah. they'll just experiment with you. Like, we went in there and we were like, okay, so how much is that Link bracelet watch band? They were like $450, and we were like, and if we get it in black, and they were like $550, and I was like, okay, so what if we took a 42mm black Link bracelet with a 42mm addition? What would that look like? And they'd be like, okay, let's try it. And they just pull out an addition, and then they wow. pull out the Link bracelet, and they let you try it on. You're like, there yeah. you go, get a feel for it.
Yeah.
And they know full well we're not planning on buying it. We're just mm-hmm. like, what's the most expensive watch we can get right now?
They don't care.
The 24-karat gold one.
Yeah.
Oh, I miss that.
Yeah, apart from that one.
I miss that.
They never actually, let there's people still a few look for sale. At that one.
Not here.
From Apple?
Yeah, no. It's from one okay. of the retail stores. I was just reading an article about it. It's in, like, Japanese or something.
That's interesting.
It's like okay. three or four of them left, and they're only, like, $700. Yes. So I'm sure they're already gone. But anyway.
Oh, really? That's yeah. crazy. I've actually been, like, I understand why those weren't out on display. I get it. But the white edition one surprises me. A device that small that costs that much that someone could literally just put on their wrist and walk out the door.
Right.
And yet, yeah, it's just, it's a fun place to hang out. And I just noticed that the competition doesn't really have that. They may have it to a certain extent. The only thing I can think of is Microsoft stores, but I know there's not that many compared to Apple stores. There's one in Denver.
It's not very cool.
We have one.
Yeah, and people don't like to, like, let's all go try Office Docs, you know? Like, it's not a fun, like...
And they, no, go for, they go for the Bird. Xbox, the same mall that has the primary Apple for San Diego County, which is Central mm-hmm. San Diego. That same mall yes. has a Microsoft. And I have gone in there.
Sure.
Back when I was shopping for either a PlayStation or an Xbox, and I ended up getting a PlayStation, because they have a Sony store as well. This mall has everything. And
mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, when I went to the Microsoft store just to look at their Surface Books and just see what they had, everybody was in the back playing. I haven't had an Xbox in years, so I don't know what the exclusives are, but they would only have exclusives, and they would want you to play with them and check out our new controller. Here's the new white edition. You can play with this. And so they were in the back playing these video games, but really what I saw was people come in, and they brought their own consoles, and they would hook up, and they would hold these little tournaments and stuff like that. So it seemed like Microsoft was trying to hold a gaming situation more so than a tech situation. But when you go inside an Apple store...
Yeah, that's the only good thing about Windows 10. Yeah, anyway.
Right. When you go inside an Apple store, and I think if I remember seeing one guy telling me correctly, any of us can go in and be like, I want to lead this workshop as an example for something, because they were looking for somebody to... I'll give you the specific example. I was talking about how I use Logic Pro for writing music and stuff like that, and how I've wrote my album, other people's albums or EPs using Logic. And they said, would you be interested in coming in and doing a demo on how an independent artist, music artist, would use GarageBand, because since it's out of the box?
There you go.
And I said, okay. That's cool. And then I looked at it, and I was like, I'm going to be honest with you. GarageBand is way different than Logic, and it's a bit tricky. And they're like, can you figure it out? I'm like, I can figure it out. And they asked me they got me in contact with one of their POCs. I don't think he was a store manager, but he told me, reach out to this guy, and he will set up an appointment to have you come in. And I walked out. I was like, I think I'm going to do this. Life happened. I ended up not doing it, just out of sight, out of mind. However, that experience taught me that I wanted to get familiar with GarageBand. And they even said, like, do you want to talk about, as an outside source whose specialty is in music, you could talk about the difference between GarageBand macOS and GarageBand iOS. And I was like, that's actually large really difference. Cool.
Oh, okay.
Because there is a difference.
Yeah.
A very big difference.
Huge difference.
And I told them, they're like, are you familiar with it? I was like, nope. And I was like, I'm Logic all the way through. And they're like, well, I mean, we want to focus more on GarageBand because that's out of the box regardless of what product you buy. And but the fact that they reached out to me like that and they said that, I was like, that's really cool. Microsoft would not have done that. Sony would not have done that. No other store would have done that. Starbucks won't be like, hey, do you want to come here and perform your live acoustic set? Well, maybe Starbucks could do that. But I'm thinking, but nobody else was like engaging with the outside and be like, I want you to be a reputable source who says you're not influenced by Apple because we're paying you. Just talk about your experiences. And I thought that was very I found integrity in that, because it was not that my vision was skewed or compromised. I've always been adamant that the reason why I even went to Apple in the first place was for the creative applications that I wanted to use, these pro applications that I'm in love with. And that's unbiasedly, I've tried the two. I'm not a fan of the Adobe products. Photoshop's cool. Anything that the Windows site has exclusively, or even if it's cross-platform, you have an Apple equivalent that's built and made for the operating system. And I just love that. If Windows came out with something that was remotely close to that, and I'm not talking about that Surface top, whatever they had. I'm talking about like something for the masses.
No.
I would have reconsidered. Yeah. But Apple, baby, that's what they got. And that's where they got me.
And I still think that's amazing that they're able to reach out with that face-to-face experience with as many people as possible, because that's what I think the theme of this podcast is anyway, is customer support.
Right.
Which, yes, there's always – it could always be better. There could always be, like, when I think of peak, like, best possible customer support, the two on the top I think of are Apple and Amazon. I've had very good experiences with Amazon where they – will take the hit and take the blame, even if it's not their fault. Like, you know, if you rent a movie and the Wi-Fi was bad and it played at a low resolution, they'll give you your money back. And it's like, that's not their fault, but they're willing to take a hit on it. So I've had good experiences with both of them. And, I mean, of all people, I think Samsung would probably not be a good example for customer support because of, I mean, telling everyone that their Note 7s are safe now when they start blowing up again. So, I mean, there's a lot of reputation to damage there. But on top of that, I know where Apple stores are. I like going to them, and I think most people, even if they're in a mall shopping or something, even if they're not looking for a new phone, they'll be like, you know, let's go in there. Let's see what we can play with, even if we're not going to buy anything. And they encourage that. They encourage people to hang out, play with the tech. And I just don't really notice that with other stores. I don't really see that with the other tech companies being like, let's just grab some stuff, get some shopping done. Ooh, the Surface Pro.
Right.
That sounds
right.
Exciting. Yeah, like it's just not as common to like go in and they're playful. And I think that the fact that they've reached out to places where even someone way out in Butte County and Chico like me with a quick drive can make it all the way there, I think that's really neat. And yeah, I guess you could say that's why I get a little defensive when someone tells me that Apple customer support is bad or that they're a joke or that you shouldn't buy Apple because of the customer support is because, yes, they don't know certain things, but in terms of service and repair, I've had very good things, good experiences to look back on.
I agree. I think I had definitely more positive than negative. The negatives were just aggravations at best or worse, depending on how you want to look at that. The fact that they, you know, that they offered me to come in, and that was, you know, the way if I looked at it as a business strategy, it's like that's free marketing for me if I wanted to promote my services. But even just when on a more personal level, I dropped my phone, they fixed it. When I was confused in regards to the iPhone 7, they canceled my loan, and I could have walked away with the iPhone 7, and they didn't know what to. I mean, but that was more ignorance on their part, but they weren't being like, not our problem. Go away. They've never been dismissive. Right. And
definitely, definitely.
And much like you, Nick, I've made friends, like legitimate friends, with people at the store, and to the point where one guy, he's still an Apple store. He's at the same Apple store, and on his free time when he's not working there, he's an independent film director. And him and I have linked up a lot of times where we try to collaborate with either film festivals or anything like that. He's just he's a cool guy, and he's just like, I'm just trying to have a go at it, and I like Apple because I like the products that they have. But he's like, but at a heart, I'm a filmmaker. I'm a writer. I'm a director. Yeah. I'm a content creator. I'm like YouTube. He's like, no. He's like, YouTube can be that or Vimeo or any, like, I want not Vimeo. That's the money one. Venmo. Venmo.
You combine them both.
Venmo. No.
Venmo is money. Vimeo is video.
Thank you.
Vimeo.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We
need to ask the Apple sheep these high-level questions because they're above my pay.
It's a video payment service.
Right.
Anytime you pay someone, you have to make a video. It's called Vimeo.
Ooh.
It's a new service.
Yeah. So he uses the
platform. Do an Animoji to use Apple Pay Cash.
Oh. What am I paying you for? For this whatever. Yeah.
For this cup of coffee, as you
every time you smile, enunciate you
everything and move your lips and eyebrows.
Yeah.
Watching someone use Animoji is more entertaining than Animoji.
I haven't used Animojis.
And I think they knew that.
I haven't used it since like the first week.
And that's fine, because that would, if you did all the time, it would be kind of weird.
Okay.
And I wouldn't
I'm texting you guys exclusively in Animojis for the next couple days.
Oh, no. No.
We're doing it.
Oh, dear.
Okay. We're doing it.
Oh, dear.
Goodness.
Yep.
I'm gonna leave for that to come to FaceTime. Yeah, when that comes to FaceTime, it's going to be great. Speaking of Animoji coming to FaceTime, that's rumored to be announced in iOS 12, which is rumored to be announced at WWDC, which there's growing developments for. It sounds like it's going to be an extremely packed keynote.
I agree. Yeah.
Between iPhones, iPads.
Air Power.
Potential new Macs.
Never.
MacBooks. We should just accept that Air Power is never going to come out, and if it does, we'll be extremely happy.
Air Power is not coming out till December 31st, 2018.
Drew?
That's what early 2018.
That's when they'll say, we need Randy. A little more time.
I don't want you to think for a second that you don't think that I stalk some of your tweets to the point where I see you poking Marquez. Like today.
I agreed with Marquez.
No.
I love that Marquez, he doesn't follow me on Twitter, but he keeps up with us, you know, like he'll see me respond and be like, hey, that's the Talosov guy, I gotta respond to him.
You go.
I appreciate that.
Really? You mean the snap, like that's how I read it. Really? They keep, like, no, I will not accept that.
I'm saying that it's funny to me that someone who's invested $3,000 on a phone that's yet to come out, that we're not even allowed to see the display turned on, that doesn't tick him off. But a charge mat that's been announced 200 days ago, that ticks them off. So I just kind of a little poke at the beast a little bit because we had a good time back in August, and I want him to remember me and be like, so that when we do eventually do a follow-up collaboration, he can be like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, we've been talking.
Yeah.
You know, he's been saying things. Just so he doesn't completely forget right there. That's the intention.
Yeah,
I love that he responds.
Yeah, it's fun. I think I like how low key he is. Like, he's just very like,
yes,
true. Can't argue that. But like he doesn't refute. But he also, you know, he just,
no.
He's so calm. Like I see
he's a very calm
Marquez
guy.
About as an older brother who just like he'll let you poke him because he knows you're harmless and he'll be like, yep, that's true. You're doing good.
Yeah.
Like, right. You're not a threat, just obviously. Knowing that we, and you're not, yes, trying to hurt him.
We could get very passionate, but we're not.
Right, right, right. And I see that. He sees that. He knows that you're not trying to hurt him. He's not trying to hurt you. And it's just like, this is true. And he lets it happen. He takes his high road, whether it comes to the Pixel or whether it comes to air power. And it's just, it's funny because I see him like, I know what you're doing. Don't forget me. Hey, Marquez, no, don't fun. Forget me.
This is like, that's what Twitter's for. Yeah. It's like, this is what I would respond
I'm glad
to
he responds so, yeah, to you. I'm glad he stays in contact with,
yes,
you personally.
Yes, me too.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we can still communicate on that level. I just hope it's not a growing form of hate.
No, I don't think so.
Because that's not where I'm coming from.
I don't take it that
but
way.
But yes, no, I agree completely that it sucks that Air Power still hasn't come out yet.
Yeah.
I assume it's for technical reasons, but no, I don't think Apple forgot about it. No. I don't think
it didn't get approved, right? That's what is wrong. It didn't get approved with the FCC.
Well, right, the FCC hasn't approved.
So it's not even Apple's fault.
That it's along. Well,
no, Apple's still working on it.
Apple has to. Well, Apple has to give it to the FCC. So it's still a something at Apple is holding it up. I don't think it's laziness. I just think it's something technical, and they're not quite there yet. I just hope it doesn't get swept under the rug entirely. That's what would bother me more.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's why I'm saying let's just assume it's not happening at all, and then when it does, we'll be happy about it.
Air Power 2 is what will get announced at this WWDC.
Air Power 2. We never got the second. Okay, whatever.
This one is even faster.
I like the idea of it, though.
Yeah.
As soon as we can buy it, I'm grabbing two. I'm grabbing them.
Good.
Quick.
Even if they're $900?
I'll grab one then.
and then he'll just share it with the rest of us.
Yes. Yes. We can all fit our AirPods.
Guys,
case
I'm going to be honest with you.
Air Power Mac.
Drew, I didn't want to say this, but you struck a chord with me a couple days ago about the iPhone X.
Uh-oh.
And
what's that?
There's something nostalgic about the old form factor that I miss. And
right.
I am feeling like if we have say like the SE2 comes out in WWDC.
Sure. Yeah.
There is a very strong part of me, if it's everything that like everything Apple Pro has been talking about, if it's everything that is, mm-hmm, to give it a try just for the next, you know, 4 months or so. I'm, mm-hmm, actually strongly considering selling the 10 and getting something that's, ooh, a little bit older in design,
yeah,
whether it's that has the, mm-hmm, iPhone 5 form factor or the iPhone 7, mm-hmm, form factor. I realize, and I only say this because my girlfriend has the iPhone 7 still, and when I use it, I'm, mm-hmm, intuitive about it where I'm having fun using it alongside my iPad, that the gestures aren't that much different. And
right, mm-hmm, yeah,
they're just old habits die hard, and because we had it for so many years, 3 years now, that I miss the not. I do miss, mm-hmm, Touch ID because I don't have psoriasis, so I loved it. fun fact, right. Newsflash, everybody: Drew can't keep his fingerprints. So yes, you don't have to tweet that, please and thank you. I love Touch ID.
I am the perfect murderer.
You are the, he You're is right. the perfect. Yeah. And yes, he is 20.
Right. All the, and no, I don't jailbreak.
And no, he doesn't jailbreak.
Coming. We can close.
Tweet me, Drew, if you
I
have
can't
any questions
hear you.
About it.
Your audio's out of sync.
Oh, no. And yes, try refreshing the podcast. And anyway, so I miss Touch ID.
The audio.
I miss
podcast.
the 16:9 ratio. There are things about it that I missed. Right. Like you said, the one thing that you said that stuck is like, I don't have to make a choice. And I like not having to make a choice.
That saves a lot of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, switching to the 8 Plus was an interesting procedure because I didn't think I would be comfortable with it. I feel like I'd be like, eh, this is old. I'm ready to go back to my 10. I miss Face ID. I like the gestures. And I do. It's not that I don't. Right. It's just that kind of switching backwards to the old style is like, oh, yeah.
Right.
No, this is like this is a very different form. I don't think it's better, but I'm still very fluid with it. And you know what? Just for the sake of saying I have a 2018 iPhone, I think I'm just going to keep using it for a while, which I did. And, it, you know, reapplying Touch ID every day several times is annoying. That's not better, and I don't want to keep the 8 Plus exclusively and get rid of my 10.
But right.
I also am noticing that I kind of like testing iPhones. I kind of like I'm not as big a fan of testing Android phones because usually I try them and go, well, this was a mistake, and then I want to get rid of them after about 12 hours. All of the gripes and all the complaints I have with Android are still there, and they're not going away. And despite what many people on Twitter say, no, using it for a longer period of time doesn't fix all those problems. They're still there. And it's still very clear what... Yes, if anything, they deteriorate more. And a lot of people seem to be like, well, Drew, if you used an Android phone and a Windows 10 PC exclusively... and a Gear S watch or and an Android Wear watch exclusively for a year, then you'd understand it more. And I'm like, no, it just gets worse. It becomes more and more clear what I don't have. So anyway.
Yeah.
When the SE2 comes out, and if it's all that we're thinking it's going to be with wireless charging and the A11 chip and the better cameras and stuff, I'm in rumored to be no headphone jack, which I'm kind of like... please. Right. I'm looking forward to that to see maybe if they can implement 3D touch, a haptic engine. Very curious to see how that comes out. I might even switch to that for a while just for the fun of it. Just to be like, no, this isn't the best iPhone. No, this isn't the iPhone I want. But I'm just going to switch to this for a while and see if I notice anything different. And if I do, I can make a video about
same.
It. So,
and also, yeah, the SE2, I doubt it would happen, but it would be really cool if the SE2 came in product red. That would 100% sell me.
Yeah.
I would do it one right there on the spot if they did it.
It probably won't, but I completely agree with you. Yeah. If there's a red SE, I hope the new trend for 2018 is black bezels. That's like
agreed.
My 100%. New favorite trend. Yep. And I'm hoping that they apply that to the iPads and the SEs. I was looking back at the old iPhone 5C. Back then, they all had black bezels with those colorful bands.
Even the white ones.
And
I used to have one of those.
Great. Yeah, they were dope. I don't know why they started adapting. You can even look this up. When they used promotional images of the iPhone 5S and the iPhone 6,
yeah.
They would show the colorful backs, but the only phone they would show the front of is the space gray one. Mm-hmm. So they were like, even they were like, okay, but the black bezels look good on the front. Let's show that one. It's like, just make them all that.
Please.
The color contrast with the front, yes. The way the display blends in when it's off, it's just, oh, I'm so satisfied with that. And I'm very going to be disappointed if they have white bezels on this year's iPad.
Yeah.
Bro. Oh, no. He's showing me his white bezel. I can't even look
at it. I know.
So,
no.
Look at that. I like silver.
But I mean, imagine.
I can't even
look at it. Randy, imagine if your white bezeled iPad had Face ID sensors. Four dots.
Can you imagine? I'm imagining it with the black bezel.
So here's my stance on black and white bezels. I would never get a white bezeled iPhone because it's annoying because the LCD when it's off is black. And the bezel is white, and that doesn't match. However, I
and
like the color.
And on top of that, they you have to have match. A little black line in between the display and the bezels.
Yeah.
So it's like extra bezel. True. You don't notice that on black bezel phones.
Yeah, true. Ugh. But anyway, I would get it. I would get a white bezeled phone if like I had that iPhone X wallet case that Apple does that wakes up the phone.
Folio.
Because I currently use a white bezeled iPad with a white smart cover. And it's great. I don't notice any of the black screen because anytime the screen is off, the white smart cover is closed. When I open the white smart cover open, the display is on. And so I never noticed that black display. And so I am completely fine with a white bezel iPad because I'm always using it with a smart
you
case. And I don't
thing.
Notice the blackness.
All the dots.
What?
Though.
I said, you picky thing. It has to be on a Saturday, 78 degrees, or I'm not doing it.
You're fired.
Oh, I'm saying dot projector, IR sensor,
yeah,
front-facing camera, all those things, yeah, on the front, it stacks up, and it starts to look weird that there's just like...
But Drew,
oh, wait a minute.
Don't you think
here,
that the...
Dot, 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 dot.
Yeah, the iPad, but this year's iPad will have the new sensors that would potentially shrink the notch anyway, because it's 2018 and we're months out. They're supposed to go into production next month. So the iPads that we would get this year...
There won't be a notch.
Well, no. But what I'm saying is that all the sensors that they're going to have, potentially, rumored, will have maybe one to two less than what we have now on the 10, because they're going to showcase what we have that's supposed to be going into production next month for the
phone. So you're saying there will only be two dots at the top?
Instead of the three? Is it three or four? We have four.
Four. There are four.
So I'm saying, maximum, I'm thinking three, mm-hmm, two to three, because if they're going to combine them, the infrared and the, the dot projector?
Dot projector.
Yeah. So if that's going to become
consolidated. So I guess I'm anti-dot,
yeah,
but I personally think having no dots is better than three or two.
Right.
Would you rather have a one Touch ID sensor than no dots? Yeah. Or no dots?
I would rather, perfect role for an iPad.
I mean, we're not going to ask Drew. Sorry.
I'll speak for the 99% of us. I personally, I'm not speaking for 99%. This is me. I would like for an iPad's functionality, if it's going to be the "what's a PC" statement, I would like to have both, ideally.
Yeah.
I would like to have both, and it'd be a Taptic. Like, it's not an actual home button, like the 7, mm-hmm, and the 8. I would like, yep, to have a Touch ID for those, because I'm still hoping that we get the multiple accounts for the iPads. And I like options.
Yeah, that would be neat.
Options are nice, and because it's not really going to take up any, you know, valuable space with the real estate of the display of the iPad itself, I like the idea of having options, and Touch ID is objectively more responsive as of today.
Mm-hmm.
It might be different with whatever sensors we're going to get for the iPad, possibly. But as of today, the 24th of April, Touch ID is more responsive. So I like the idea of having options more so when it comes to something that's not an intimate product like the iPhone. So preferably,
mm-hmm,
both. If I had to choose, I'm all in about the future, and if that's their vision, then, you know, same like cutting the headphone jack, let's just do the Face ID and commit to that, because that is clearly what they're investing in. I accept that. If there's room for both, I love options in that aspect, because they're both biometrics, regardless.
Then you would love the Galaxy S9.
Heck no!
So many options.
No!
They do both. Oh. See, I'm
That's
saying...
That's a phone! I am talking in. About a... what's a computer? I'm talking about a...
What's a computer?
We can even get an updated version of Face ID with this new iPad generation. Maybe it's better than the iPhone X's.
I'll be sold if we get MacBooks with Face ID too.
Go full Face ID and say, no, we didn't put Touch ID on the iPhone. Not because there wasn't a way to, but because there shouldn't be Touch ID on the iPhone. We could have put it on the back. We're not going to. You're adapting to Face ID because we are. So is the iPad. That's what I thought the point was. That's what I see it going. If the new iPad has Touch ID, which, by the way, probably would mean no same size bezel.
Right.
I think if you have Touch ID, you have to have a home button. I guess on the MacBook they didn't, but that's different because it's Mac OS. But I don't know. I think they want to make the iPad feel like a 10, because it seems like most people are like, my iPad has a very different navigational system than my iPhone 10. How do we move this over? I think that's what the point is. So that's why I would be like, no, you got to go full hard Face ID. But I also understand options is nice, having control. But I also have no royalty or loyalty to the Touch ID sensor. So that's why I'm kind of bitter about it.
I hear you.
Forgive me.
Yeah.
So
ban them all.
Can we transition for a second to what's a computer? Because I have some new opinions about this whole what's a computer iPad replacing actual computers.
You love it.
You can ask Siri and she'll tell you.
What does she say? I've never asked Siri this.
Hang on.
It's in the Saturday short.
I'm sorry.
Remember?
What's a computer?
Here's what I found.
Oh, thanks, Siri. gives me Wikipedia.
Did she do a Bing search for you?
She gave me Wikipedia.
No, the HomePod will say it.
Sorry, Drew. I don't have it.
Hey Siri, what's a computer?
Device that can be instructed to carry out.
I hear her.
That was from Wikipedia.
Yeah.
No.
You have to ask smart. It like a little girl. Or no, like the old lady. Or no, yeah, it's the little girl who says, "What's a computer?" So, I sold my 12-inch MacBook a little more than 24 hours ago.
Okay.
And today was my first full day without an Apple laptop since 2014. Oh, wow. There have been a couple weeks, I guess, where I haven't had it. But mm-hmm. for the most part, you know. I originally thought while I still had my MacBook that this 2018 iPad would do the trick because I can use Parallels Access and get over to my Mac Mini that's just sure. sitting here always connected to the internet if I needed to do something. There are like programs I need. I need like Tableau, which is a statistical software, QM, which is another statistical software, SAP, some different like professional Windows-based computer programs. Tableau, I guess, works on a Mac. But anyway, it's just really choppy. Like even mm-hmm. even if I'm sitting there with perfect internet connection down right. the hall from where my Mac Mini is, sitting on my iPad, it takes a good quarter second for my Apple Pencil tap to register with the Mac Mini and then send back whatever it was supposed to do. And my Mac Mini is kind of slow to begin with. So I'm definitely not enjoying this whole laptopless life. I thought sure. it would be okay because in my mind, the only thing I used my MacBook for was editing these podcasts. But actually, the last podcast, episode 16, was completely edited on my iPad here. It wasn't fun, but yeah. I learned it, and so now it'll be a little better. And they'll continue to be edited on the on my iPad, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Randy uses Logic to do audio balancing and stuff.
Right.
But
yeah.
Anyway, the actual chopping and bouncing and uploading all happens on an iPad.
Did you use the program Logic, or did you just use Logic?
I used the Logic. I called them up and I said,
"That's the great thing about that name."
I love it. And I think he loves
Anytime
it too.
Anytime someone complains with me, I can use the argument, I don't use Logic. You know, I'm illogical.
Oh.
Oh, I get it now. Oh,
I okay. get
Thank
it.
You.
This Got is how it. My brain works. I'm constantly looking for a joke. I'm sorry.
No, good.
But yes. No, I
add it to your rap that
and
you're supposed to give to us eventually.
Yeah. There's definitely certain things that an iPad can't do, and I think that when Apple's using that whole it can replace your laptop thing, it does not apply to everyone, and that's why they still sell MacBooks.
It's a stretch.
Because if yes. Apple believed you didn't need a MacBook for anything, why are they selling so many of them? So, yeah, there's clearly, like, it's catered towards minor things or things students can do, and
yeah.
when you get into more production,
even
more
as a student, it's annoying. So today I went to give a presentation. I'm Mr. Dongle Man. I practically have a man purse full of dongles that I carry around with me all day long.
A man USB-C. Purse.
I know. Yeah. Well, let's see. I don't even have all of them in
it's
there right
a
now.
It's a satchel.
Like USB-C, Thunderbolt. Yeah, satchel. There you go.
Indiana
Thank you,
Jones
Randy.
Had one.
Get my nut sack from Drew.
I hope for they know what we're referring to.
For those who know, it's not what you think it is. It is a product that got sent to Drew that had an interesting name. Anyway. It's a bag.
Moving on.
Anyway, so typically I travel around with lightning to SD card, lightning to HDMI, lightning to USB, USB-C to HDMI, USB-C to VGA, USB-C to, anyway, like all the adapters under the sun. I always walked around with them.
Okay.
But today of all days, I had a presentation and I was planning to use Keynote on my iPad because I love the Magic Move feature on a Keynote mm-hmm. really looks professional. Also, the gradient kind of looks like an Apple Keynote. That's why I like it.
Yes.
Right. Full disclaimer there. So I'm a big Keynote fan when it comes to giving a presentation. My problem was today I actually forgot to bring my Lightning to HDMI adapter. So I was like, crap, what do I do? So I ended up having... because I had all these USB-C adapters. I had USB-C to HDMI, USB-C to VGA. I couldn't use them because I didn't have a Mac, my MacBook with me, because I sold it. So anyway, I ended up putting it up on iCloud and then using one of my other students, Max, who had a Thunderbolt, which I had Thunderbolt to HDMI on me.
Okay.
Anyway, it was like this whole big workaround, and I'm like, darn it, all these dongles are finally going to kill me off one of these days. But yeah, I just feel like constricted using the iPad. I don't think I fit into the iPad target market for that what's a computer thing. It's great for taking notes. I use my note-taking app. What is that called? What is it called? That blue pencil one. What I'm using it right now. No, it's... there's no names on when it's on the dock.
What the Logitech?
No need.
I would Notability. That's it. Notability. It's like $10. Right. So it's not free, but it's a really powerful app. It's like imagine Photoshop, but specifically for taking notes. It's a great app. Mm-hmm. I totally recommend it. So I love taking notes. I've gone completely digital with taking notes just on this iPad. It's just not productive enough for me. So I'm really looking forward to getting a 15-inch MacBook Pro that can actually run virtual environments and has an actual GPU instead of just a hyper-threaded synthetic GPU.
In college I had that same situation where we all had to do the PowerPoint kind of presentations. Mm-hmm. And I always would make it on my iPad and then just sign into my iCloud Drive account.
Yeah,
on
that's what I ended up
whatever
doing.
The computer was. Well, I mean, like, that doesn't work on just Macs, though, because you can access iCloud Drive on PCs as well.
Yeah.
So, like...
I just had Thunderbolt HDMI, and my school's real poor and cheap, and we don't have, like, all the fancy rooms, so we just have, like, a HDMI hookup. VGA hookup. Not even HDMI. VGA hookup.
Okay.
We have, like, a VCR and stuff in there. It's kind of retro. But,
anyway, see, if you had an overhead... Out. You could just like put
I've,
your iPad
I've used
in
that
front
before
of it.
In pinches, but the problem is all of our overheads are black and white.
Huh.
So
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So anyway.
PC in color.
So before we get into our voicemails here or voicemail or just
voicemail.
Guys, if you'd like to leave a voicemail, the number is on our Twitter. I don't have it in front of me.
Or just scroll down on this podcast.
Oh, there you go.
Just take your thumb. Touch our little picture, scroll down a little, and there'll be some show
there
notes.
You go.
And the phone number will be there. You tap it. It's hyperlinked. We'll start calling.
If you want to leave your question, your comment, your anything you want to talk about prevalent for the show.
Keep it clean, folks. Randy, you can't just open it up like that.
You're right. Keep it clean. Okay, here. I'll sell it to you. Ready? Do you want a chance to engage with the one and the only Andrew Erickson? Then call the number you see below on this podcast, on Twitter, on everything. Just don't tweet Talos of Tech. He won't have the number. It's on the dedicated. Anyway, if you want to call and be part of the show.
Talos of Cast.
If you want to be on the show, give us a call. Leave it to 30 seconds, no more than a minute, but it has to be concise. That's all we're looking for. Make it concise. Make sure you have a clear connection, because if we hear, hey, guys, that's good. We don't know what you're saying, guys, and unfortunately, we're going to move past it. So, but with that being said, talk to us. You guys have been missing us. We miss you. So give us a call. Leave a voicemail, and we'll see you next time on this. But before we get into that, really quickly, guys, I just wanted to tell you something. Just a saved round before we go into that and wrap this up. Today is my 3-year anniversary when I got the very first watch.
Ooh,
so
congratulations.
I was
3 years.
The first day when they shipped, the day it shipped, and that's what I knew there was something about this date, and I always remembered it. I sat so patiently by my door for the whole day because it was a school day for me, and I was a full-time student at the time, so I could afford to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I just sat there and I waited. When I saw the UPS guy, I was like, is that him? Is that him? And I just went outside and I was like, do you got something for me? And I have never been more excited about a product since the iPhone. Never been more excited than when I got the watch. And today's been 3 years since I've been a nonstop Apple Watch user. So my question for you guys, tying it into what this is about, is if you have an Apple Watch or if you have an accessory that supports but specifically the watch. But if you have anything that supports your iPhone, your iOS, when did you get it? What do you love about it? How long have you been walking with it? And has it truly enhanced your iPhone or iOS experience? Or do you feel it that it was not necessary and you got rid of it? Because surprisingly, some people said it's not for me and they're not a watch user and they wanted to try and ended up getting rid of it. So my question is for you guys, when did you get your first accessory to iOS? Has it enhanced it, or did you find no relevance in it and you just kind of kept it more simple? So that's my question for you. I expect to hear some calls or some tweets, and we'll get into that. And Mr. Answeeney, you have something to share?
Yeah, so I just want to ask, Drew, when did you get your Apple Watch?
No, I think because back then I wasn't as...
Yeah.
Tech YouTubing was definitely not a priority, but I did get it only a couple days after everyone else got it because wow. I did a late pre-order. I didn't do first round pre-order. So basically the first wave everyone got them. So which means probably in the next couple days would be my 3-year anniversary because everyone kind of was getting them on that Friday and I got it on Sunday or Monday or something. So yeah, so it's been almost exactly 3 years and it's been a good 3 years now. It's very rare that it's not on my wrist, and when it's not, it feels wrong. So I'm confident that it's probably going to stay there for a very long time.
Yeah.
I have had a tiny computer strapped to my wrist for 213 days.
I love knowing why I know
the exact day is because I've never missed a move ring or a stand ring or an exercise ring, and my longest move streak is 213 days. So, obviously not as long as you guys.
But when you switched phones, did it carry over your activity data? Because initially that wasn't stored in iCloud, right?
Yeah. Well, so by the time I got an Apple Watch, it was. I don't know how it worked. So when I switched from the 7 to the 8 Plus, all of my previous activity was, and then like it was missing 4 or 5 stand rings, stand hours that day. So I did end up having to fudge a little bit. I changed the clock back for 1 hour, but I was standing that time. I had the stand rings. But anyway, other than that one little fudge, I have completed every single one of my rings.
I'm calling Apple right now. He cheated.
Man. So personally.
Liar, liar, plants for hire.
Wow. That was happy hour.
Oof. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Personally, I think that Apple should give out rest days. They don't have to be frequent, but like maybe once a month. Like they should give you some kind of incentive because I wouldn't use it because I close my rings every day and I'm in that habit. But every once in a while, like it just skips your brain and you're like 11:30 at night, you get the notification that says, hey, take a 30-minute walk. And you're like, I can't do that right now.
I'm on a plane to Japan. I'm on a plane to Japan. I'm sorry. I can't do that right now.
Just walk, true walk story. Up and down the aisle.
True story.
I've done that. I did that on flight to LA. It was like, hey, get your stand ring. I'm like, all right, here we go.
Let's do this.
Achievements are not achievements because they were easy to get.
I know, yeah.
That's
what
makes them achievements.
How
but
dare
like,
you?
Had even to the work, Nike... You had to get out of your seat on that flight to Japan, and you paced back and forth, and everyone looked at you like you were a terrorist. But you went through that work to get that achievement, dang it.
The air marshal had no mercy on me. Yeah,
that's my point, that's what makes an achievement, is that it was hard to get that. So that's why, I don't know. Sure, they could add a free day or whatever, but I think that would destroy the purpose, which is that was hard to do. These achievements, when you get them, when you get that little notification on your watch, that should be like I got 30 out of 31, you know? Like,
yeah.
I think if that was the case, everyone would use it.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah, like, I can see where it could be abused, but even like other apps like the Nike Run Club app, they give you like rest days, and it is healthy to have a rest day.
Stop.
Not if your name is Randy Vasquez.
Move goal every day.
Fine, guys. Whatever. I've been outvoted.
Just kidding.
Moving on to our caller.
No, we have to
very
move.
Smooth transition.
No, we have to move to the highest move goal you can set your watch to 10,000 in a day.
I'm at 800. Then... Drew, you are at, what, 500? Yes. Randy, you're at like 300.
Okay.
No.
If we're going to have this conversation.
Sorry, you're 50, Randy. You are 50.
Guys.
Excuse me.
Nick, guys. You're...
Nick, maybe if yours was 500, you'd be okay with doing it every single day, Nick, and not having a sick day.
Nick, since we're going there. Sir. When's let me ask you this, since we're going there. When's the last time you saw my watch activity?
It hasn't been a while.
My watch broke.
Oh no.
Yep.
What?
How did we not hear about this?
Because I am ashamed. Yeah, it broke.
What did you do?
I will give you the short version.
Okay, please do. We're running out of time.
Yeah, we're running out of time. So the short version, we'll talk more offline about it. Short version is it was work related, and let's just say I hit the face at the right angle, and the screen itself, though scratched, wasn't the damage. It was the internals that got messed up, and I don't know what happened. But what I will tell you is that the moment I take it off the charger, it dies.
Mm-hmm.
The moment I put it back on the charger, it will recoup its full charge. Maybe you can look at it because I can't see it right now. But it's been four or five, maybe a week now since there's been last any movement on it. And I dropped it for one day. I dropped it down to 50 because I'm like, maybe I can still try to get something in for it.
Yeah.
And then it just cut. And then I took off the watch because I realized that it was not serving a purpose. I couldn't even read the, I couldn't get nothing. It died. It would die. And, and it happened.
Well, Randy, did you get Apple Care Plus like everyone does?
The watch I am using, Sir Ericsson, is the Series Zero. I returned my LTE one a while back. For financial reasons, I need the money to put it towards something else. So I ended up returning it and decided to wait for the more eager Series 4 and see what would come from there. Wow. So I got the money already put to the side, and I'm in that in between. It would be ridiculous to get a watch now, and I've explained that to like my girlfriend, and we're like, she's like, why don't you do it, you look naked. I'm like, look at this tan line, guys. 3 years.
Oh, that is bad.
3 years,
that is bad.
Yeah, your tan line's gonna heal back.
I know,
that's too bad. You should have took it to the store and tell them that the battery's full on it, and that's why it died.
So I did reach out to the support team, and I said, hey, here's the situation, and they said, given the age of the watch, you are best to just upgrade. And I said, I understand that, but you and I both know I am past the 6 month mark. I am not going to do that.
Yeah.
I am going to get the edition, and I am going to be happily giving my money for the Series 4. So I am currently watchless for the next couple months, and I feel so naked, guys. Look, it's so sad. Look at that.
It is.
I mean, we made a picture it this of that. Far in the podcast.
Say again?
Without talking about it.
I know.
Yeah. That's why.
We're going to tweet a picture of your tan line.
Oh, yeah. Take a screenshot. Boom. Bum. Done.
No. I need to know how long it takes for that to tan back over because
I'll document
my
it.
Tan line is getting worse.
Yeah, I'll document. But
I don't have a tan line yet, but I feel like I probably could.
This is,
I
mean, 3 years in the making, buddy.
13 days. So.
So, yeah. That's why, Nick, since you want to bring up a sore subject, I've been naked. I don't want to talk about it. I'm insecure.
I see. Well, go get a,
are
go
you
get
happy?
A Series 1.
Is that what you wanted to hear?
Go get a Series 1 for like
one
a couple
on
months.
Facebook.
Yeah.
I thought about it. I have thought about just buying a placeholder, but admittedly, I feel like I can be a little bit more smart with a transaction like that. So I think I can patiently wait just a few more months. I'm going to blink. September, October is going to be here. And if the Series 4 isn't what we think it's going to be, I have no problem getting a Series 3 and holding on to that a little bit longer.
For cheaper.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought about getting a Series 2 just because I wanted the GPS factor for it. But again, I wanted to be smart with this transaction for it because I am a watch wearer. And so it's, for me, it just, I'll be patient with it. But also, admittedly, if I do end up selling the 10 and I get the SE2 or I get a Product Red 8 or something, all to be determined in the next couple months or so, If that happens and I have money to spare, I might do that. But we'll pick up on this on a future date and we'll talk about that.
Okay.
So, all right.
Well, your patience is very admirable.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Yes.
I'm stir crazy.
So, tell me, everyone, what is the one thing that a Talos of Tech podcast cannot be without? What's one thing that we need in each of our podcasts?
The Pixel.
We need to diss the Pixel somehow.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Hello, Drew and crew. This is Justin. Recently, I had a roommate who got a Pixel 2 XL. I know, cringe. But I was wondering, I guess, how to convince him to get an iPhone, because he was considering an iPhone 8 as well. And the thing with him is that he just wants something that does apps and messaging. That's pretty much all he wants. He wants this to work. And he had an iPhone 4S before, and he's saving $200 off the Google Pixel 2 XL. That's why he leaned towards that. Anyways, if you guys have any thoughts or opinions, that'd be great. Let me know. Bye.
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 Bye. So thanks for calling in. Full disclaimer, I did chat with this fan over DM for a little while, so I have some additional details. But what is your 1,000-foot impression, Drew?
So wait, if I understand the situation entirely, did he say he got the iPhone 8? He wants to get an iPhone 8?
So his friend, his roommate, who's not an Apple sheep, bought a Pixel 2 XL.
What kind of friend?
$200 off.
Yeah, $200 off through his carrier. And this person who called in is trying to figure out good ways to convince his roommate friend to switch to an iPhone, because the roommate friend already had an iPhone and he can return the Pixel for another 2 weeks.
Oh, so, okay, gotcha. So here's why you should return the Pixel. I'll mm-hmm. sum it up for you. For one, it's not going to get as many years of support as the iPhone 8. We have 5 to 6 year old iPhones still getting the latest iOS, and it's rumored that the iPhone 5S might even get the iOS 12. So if you want a phone that can last, always go iPhone. Secondly, if you want to adopt yourself to a portless future that we're adopting a new standard of inductive charging, also available on iPhone, not on the Pixel. Also, if you want the highest resolution and frame rate of any phone but right now, which is 4K at 60, not going to get that on the Pixel. Switch to iPhone. Also, you're going to be in, he even mentioned the messaging services. So if you want to be able to message someone cross-platform, not cross-platform, but whether you're on your desktop, potentially Apple Watch, laptop, iPad, iMessage is great. People prefer iMessage, and sometimes it's the sole reason they stick with their iPhone. Another reason to stick with iOS. Whereas you end up with Android, you're not going to be getting many software updates. If you pick that iPhone, you know exactly when you're going to be getting an update. And you'll have months of anticipation. If you want to opt for the beta program, you get to experiment with new redesigns, new features you're going to get every single year. With Android, you may get a control center that looks a little bit more like iPhone. So if you want to pick the phone that's not quite an iPhone yet, but is really, really working on becoming an iPhone, get a Pixel. But if you want the phone that they're shooting for, just go ahead, get the iPhone, spend the extra $200. It's going to be worth it in the long run.
Babe!
There you go.
Call 911! I just witnessed a murder! Sorry, guys, I'm back.
Also, headphones included with the purchase.
Way cooler box. You get fast charging out of the box.
So, you don't get... You can buy a fast charger for an iPhone, but you can't force a Pixel to have wireless charging.
Oh, Apple's just charging me, nickel and diming me for everything.
You know, that argument of they're just trying to make you upgrade, nobody talks about that anymore. You see that the 5S still being serviced? Like, funny how nobody's talking about that anymore, about the... Yeah. They're just trying to make you upgrade. Oh, is that why they helped you with the battery performance? Is that why they still are servicing it? Why iOS 12 is rumored to help optimize older devices? Yeah, nobody's talking about that no more. Funny how that
Google's
works.
Google's discontinued all tablets and the Nexus line.
Yeah.
Yep.
An entire brand of products that they considered flagship Android is now discontinued, and it was being sold like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yep.
Gone now.
Funny how that
so,
was.
So I wouldn't trust my money with a company like that if you're looking for long-term support.
Agreed.
oh, my phone's broken. Just take it to a Google. That's a little bit harder.
I can't really add anything to that because that's perfectly well said. So, yeah.
So something to add that Justin did say, this friend of his is not into the Apple ecosystem. He did have an iPhone before, but he doesn't use iCloud Photos. He doesn't, you know, he's just not in the ecosystem. And so I kind of told him over text, there's not much you can do if they're not deep into the ecosystem. That's my opinion. What do you think, Drew? Okay, Drew.
If you like Google services, they're available on iOS.
Yep.
If you ever want the option of,
but then it comes down to price,
services.
And you can't argue an iPhone on price.
Support.
I mean, if the situation is I have $600 and I need to buy a phone right now, then no, I guess I can't convince you because I can't convince someone they have more money. I would personally say if you're in that situation, you shouldn't be spending it on a phone, let alone one that's a deal. But my point is sometimes the better deal is a good purchase, and I can understand that. But sometimes when you cheap out, as in when you cheap out and you go for the cheaper model, you end up paying for it in the long run, as in service is going to die sooner, as in support for it's going to die sooner. If there's less support or framework in place for it, it's not going to age as well, in which case you're going to have to buy a new phone even sooner than you are if you are getting an iPhone 8. So there are times where I understand people wanting the better deal. Android's good at being better deals, but sometimes you're going to pay back for it with not having the better product. And I would say it is worth it.
Can I argue that, Drew? Can I argue on that for a second? Because I disagree with you.
Okay. What's that?
If it's a pricing issue, I guarantee you Apple has a price for you for a phone that's being serviced with the current product.
Right, but he just said that he didn't care about Apple services.
No. But what I'm saying is that, like, if 600 was his max, you're silly. If you're not a fanboy one way or the other, you're silly to, I want Google because Google, because then just get OnePlus. And if you want something that's more affordable, get something that, if you're trying to get that near stock experience for an OS, OnePlus is definitely more compelling. And that's where your best value for your buck will come into play. But if you're like, I have a budget, 7, 8, SE, maybe SE2. Tell me that we don't have a phone that we don't service now that you can buy out of the box that doesn't support everything that we have now. You might not get all the latest features, but if money's an issue for you, you wouldn't get the. You're not going to buy the Pixel XL because there's some exclusivity for the XL2 over the regular Pixel. So
There's no Google tax that's worth it.
Exactly.
There's no Google
exclusive, so I feel like
that makes it worth it. The squeeze feature.
Who cares? I mean, to me, I'm sorry, but you know, it's like, squeeze, that's a gimmick. I honestly think Animoji is a gimmick, but I'm still going to commit to texting you guys in Animojis for at least a week.
Oh boy.
So that's a thing. But all that aside, my pettiness put to the side here. If his question is how can I convince my roommate to lean towards Apple, you can't convince anybody to do anything, but you can make the argument if it's pricing. I don't think people are like, Apple's too expensive. I don't see it as a valid argument, especially since, you know, going back to older things like the 5S is still being they're serviced for it today. So you got a 64-bit model phone for something, you're good to go. The SE2 is going to be refreshed, allegedly. Done. Even if it doesn't, I have people at my work right now who have the SE. Three of them. Three people have the SE, and they don't want to upgrade because they like the smaller form factor. And it's running just fine. So you got, now both of you guys are rocking 8s, and that's not an issue. My girlfriend has the 7. I have a friend who has a 6S. Mm-hmm. Everything is butter. It's gravy, baby. Everything's great. So
unless you talk to Front Page Tech, then they're nothing but bugs and glitches. But you know, sorry.
Your asterisk, your experience may vary, but I can tell you that if you're talking about price, I don't think that's a valid statement anymore. If you're like, I want the best of the best, you're not going to get the best of the best with price with Apple, Samsung, or Pixel. Get the OnePlus. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's my two cents.
Cool.
I was looking at it as more of how do I convince him with the 8.
Okay.
But, yes, if we're just arguing that should he buy a Pixel 2, period, yes, Randy, you're completely right, and it feels like you've been watching a little too much Talosov Tech. You know your argument.
That feels so good for you to say. Say that again, but slower, please.
No, as in, like, if you want Android, there are much better options. But on top of that, you don't want Android. I'm sorry. Like, there's other cheaper options that are going to last you longer and be more reliable, so... Yes.
But I only quote Talosov when it's correct and it's right, and I can back it up with experiences of my own that I can be like, you know what, in my real world experience. So when that argument you've brought up time before, it's that is very true. That's applicable today.
If you go to Apple's website, iPhones start at $350.
Yeah. There you go.
If you go to Google's website, Pixels start at $650. There's just overall less options, less budget models. They don't even sell the original Pixel anymore.
And you'll get support for us. So
if you're looking at, look at how quickly Google discontinues and changes their mind on things. That's why I'm saying don't buy into that, because Google and the Pixel team has no idea what they're supposed to stick with, what they're supposed to start doing and keep supporting it. It seems like they change their mind every other year. So I'd say don't buy into that, because Pixel 2 could stop getting support in 2 years, and they'll just be like, yeah.
So, final thought on the Google Pixel thing. You remember that one Apple keynote back when Steve Jobs was around? I believe it was the iPad announcement keynote, where Steve showed a slide of a road sign. Apple's direction was very clear. It was just one straight arrow forward. Mm-hmm. And then he showed a road sign, obviously mocking the netbook fans out there. Right. And, like, how convoluted, and it, like, showed a picture of a squiggly sign. I really feel like that's the difference between Apple and Google hardware team. Because, yeah. You know, you're like, oh, all into Nexus! Nexus 5! I remember when that was cool.
Right.
And then, like, 6P. Ooh, Nexus 6P, even cooler! And then, oh,
Pixel
Nexus.
C tablet.
Yep, mm-hmm, yep.
We have a Pixel pro tablet 1. That can't run two apps cool. at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah,
you're getting Pixel 2, and then none of your Nexus phones are supported, and iPhone 5S is still supported. Anyway, we're out of time, guys.
All right.
So,
thank
yes,
you very much.
Thank you for calling.
I wanted to thank Sam and Anthony on Twitter for reminding us to record a podcast, because we completely forgot. Like, it was, if it wasn't for you, Sam and Anthony, we would have totally forgot to record a podcast here.
I forgot you guys' names. Yeah. I have no idea who I'm talking to right now, even.
Really?
My name is Mick, so, and he's Andy.
Yes.
So we'll have to catch up now. But anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. It's been an interesting week. This is your Apple Shape here, and we'll see you in the next one. Take care.
Bye-bye.